Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
Check, one, two. Check, do you hear me? It actually goes along well with my story that I have to tell you guys because we're talking a bit about God's voice. And there's something about microphones that is attractive to people. And so how many of you guys have gone to a Christmas, either a Christmas concert or a kids' Christmas program this year? Maybe multiple. This could be a fun game. We're not going to do it, but we could do that game. We're like, who went to 5? Who went to 12? Who went to the most? That would have been a good idea, because then I could have given somebody a prize for going to 12 Christmas concerts this year. Anyway, my story today is about that. When I was growing up, I went to the little Lutheran church that's actually, I can see it right out through the windows, St. Paul's Lutheran Church when I was a kid. And not only did we have the Christmas program for church, we even had one for the school because I attended the school as well. And so when we were small, that meant we got to dress up. We could dress up like a sheep or a goat or whatever the things were. And we did that classic, like, cut the sheet, put the sheet over your body as an angel. You know, you got the little crown of, not twine. What's that gold stuff that you can twist around? But not garland. Well, yeah, garland works too, but pipe cleaners. We would do things with pipe cleaners too. But anyway, we would set up when we'd play and we'd get ready for that. And I would say for anybody here who has done that as an adult and overseen children and getting them ready for a Christmas program, let me just say thank you so much for being that person who volunteers to do that. If you're somebody who's played the music for it or tried to rally a crowd of little children who are not really that interested in performing and standing quietly, it's a big deal. And so thank you if you're somebody who did that, because as a little kid, I was that wild child that you had to tell over and over again to, like, stay still, put your hands down, stop picking in your nose. That was part of the deal for me. But when I was really small, we got ready. I was just thinking of this specifically one Christmas nativity that we had, and we had many practices. So we showed up on Sunday morning getting ready, and there was all this excitement because when you were a kid, you would line up in your classroom with your Sunday school teacher and you'd get, like, the rules again, right? They would tell you, like, okay, you're going to keep your hands at your side, don't push your neighbor, we're going to walk down the center aisle, and then we'd all kind of make that semicircle around a little bank of microphones. And the microphones back then had those little foam covers, like they're red or green or blue, so they looked even more attractive to a little kid because they're colorful. But we were told, don't touch the microphones. When we get out there, you stand and you're quiet because we're going to sing a song all as one group. We're not just going to be one person who's shouting. So those of us who are rule followers, we just shake our heads like, okay. So we got our line and we walk all the way down. And we get kind of put into that semicircle around the bank of microphones, and the gal's ready at the piano. And it happened to be that the person standing right next to me was a small childhood friend. And he was a bit wild. He was a curious fellow. And he got this look in his eye. Like, he had a plan. He had an agenda of the thing that he was going to do. And he was that one boy, you know, there's always one in every group that everybody knows his name because this is the name that's said over and over and over and over again. And I'll just say that his name was Billy. I won't say his real name, but so Billy's name was well known. And so we got into that circle, and we're standing there, and there's that bank of microphones. And just as our Sunday school teacher, she's got all ready, and she goes to raise her hands to cue the song, he jumps up, grabs the microphone, throws it in front of his mouth. He's like, and a one, a two, a one, two, three, four. And of course, in our little Lutheran church, we're not a wildly rocket. Like, we didn't have this set up. There weren't drums or bass. We weren't, like, ready for that. It was pretty mild-mannered. So there's the people who are stuffling their snicker, right? Because they know, should we be laughing at this? But the big thing for him was he wanted his voice to be heard, right? I mean, that's the whole idea behind that, is jumping out. He had an idea in his head. He had something that he wanted to express. And so he wanted to jump out, and he wanted his voice to be heard. Our voices are important. They really do. They allow us to communicate and express the very uniqueness of who we are. And even as we're developing as babies in our mother's wombs, around 7 or 8 months, we can actually hear the voice of our mother and we respond to that. If she's speaking soothingly, it actually helps our heart rates even to slow down. So there's something that's unique about that voice. And if you think about even our design of how we're able to speak, all the little things that have to work and be at place so that you can actually hear my voice right now. Not even just so much the microphone, but all the vibrations and movements that are happening in my throat and in my lungs so that I can speak out to you. All those things are important and they matter. These are the things that give our voices a way to communicate. The passage we're looking at today comes out of John 1, and it comes after the end of, it's the very last of our four Gospels. So we've been spending time looking at all the stories of the birth of Jesus, because that's kind of what we do during this season. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those first three Gospels, start out kind of with a sequential look at the life of Jesus. It starts out with his birth. We move on to his public ministry, what he did in life. We look at his crucifixion, where he dies on the cross and then comes back to life again. But when we read the book of John, where it starts is not at the birth of Jesus. It starts in a very different place. It starts at pointing us back to the very beginning of the creation story. So if you guys want to, you can open up. If you like looking at the Bible on your phone, if you've got that, you guys can open it up. We're looking at John 1, 1 through 5, and then we're going to look at 9 through 14. And it will also come up on the screen here as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Let's pray together. So, Father, we do thank you for this picture of life with you. And as we talk a bit more about what it looks like to respond to your voice, I pray that you would be with us, that you'd open up our minds and our hearts to be able to respond to you. And I do ask that we would hear your voice, God. We know that you're active, that you're speaking to us, and that you're here present with us. So we invite you into that space with us today. In your name, amen. So this gospel begins with a deliberate echo back to the creation story. So in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1, we see this beautiful picture of God creating everything. In the beginning, God created. And it's 31 verses that go on to explain all the things that God made. That God first started by separating the day from the night. And then he created space so that there was actually a place for water. There was a place for land. And we see that God filled the oceans full of living creatures. And then he created things to be moving and growing in the ground, seed-bearing plants. And then there are animals that are moving. There's all these things that God is using his voice and his breath to start, to make things that are flourishing. And we hear the same phrase that God says over and over after every time God makes something or starts something. He doesn't just look at it and go, could have been better. But we hear God say, it is good. Every time something is created that he made, he says, it is good. And in this gospel that we read in John 1, we're being pointed back to that moment where God interrupts the silence and he speaks the universe back into existence. And instead of hearing, in the beginning, God created, what we're hearing is, in the beginning was the Word. Now, the readers and hearers during the time that the Bible, what people were reading through these Gospels, it would have been in Greek, and they would have heard the word logos. And logos isn't just any description of any grouping of words or nouns that you have, but it was actually pointed to a specific meaning. It symbolized the Word, or the reason, or even the discourse. Using this word was the expression behind a thought. Using that word meant just, it's not just any word, it's something that's expressing a deeper thought, that God had come to be the expression of the divine. Now, there's a lot of things we use to describe this word, but for just for our time together, I'm going to use the word the voice. Because when I think about expressing a thought, or even if I point back to that story of little Billy jumping up and grabbing that microphone, there's something in your voice that communicates something good. And it's not just in a one singular word. The voice describes a lot of things. It's unique to us. When we hear somebody's voice, we can recognize it. We know the voices of the people we love. And we know the voice of people, even in the inflection that we change, if somebody is frustrated with us, if they're happy with us. All of that is in that intonation of our voices. So in the beginning was the word. When we communicate to one another, we can understand each other's words and thoughts, but there's something unique about our own voices. They communicate feeling and authority. And each one of us, it's unique and distinct. And we remember that. Our brains are pretty amazing because we can identify the sounds of each other's voices. And the invitation for us is that God has that voice for us too. We see in Psalms 36:6, it says, "By the word, or logos, of the Lord, the heavens were made, the starry hosts of the breath of his mouth." And even further on in John, where we see even in the life of Jesus, that Jesus used a lot of story to communicate what it looked like to be a part of the kingdom of God. And in one of those stories, often he would talk about the things that were common for the people at that time. And there were quite a few people who were shepherds. And so he would talk to other people and say, in the same way that we recognize God's voice, it's the same way that when a shepherd speaks to a group of sheep, they know the shepherd's voice, but they don't know the voice of the stranger. And all of that is an invitation. Do we know God's voice? Do we know the one who made us and cares for us? And that voice even echoes back to creation. When I think about that creation story, there's a lot of phrasing that even talks about God's using his voice and using his breath. That his voice, he calls things into being. And even when he forms man and woman, he breathes his life into it. So our voices are significant and important. And so when we get ready this week, we're celebrating Christmas, and maybe you've been doing that all week, but this week and even into next week, our invitation is to see that Jesus is a symbol of this voice. That oftentimes we can look at and see the baby, and that's wonderful, but we're kind of holding two things that seem to be opposite at the same time. That Jesus, while Jesus is the baby, and that baby's cry is the same thing as this powerful voice of God that created the universe. And we're holding those as truth at the same time. That the creator is also the created. And sometimes that can be a little difficult for us because it's tricky in the brain to think through those two things. But the invitation is to see that the God who created everything is also this baby that's come into the manger. When I think back to specific voices that matter to me, especially this week, I was thinking to listening to my grandpa's voice. Because when you start thinking about the way people say your name, I don't know if this has happened to you, but everybody calls me Nikki, but my birth name was Nicole. And there are just a couple of people who call me Nicole. And my grandpa was one of them. And now I haven't heard my grandpa's voice in probably 25 years. But when I think back to the way he said my voice, and I was very small, and there's something about that, kind of those memories you have of things that happened when you're a small child, that when I would see him and I'd wrap my arms around him and he would say my name, it was so comforting to me. It made me feel seen and recognized and known. And whether that was me walking into his house to see him or if I went outside, he loved to grow things in a garden and he was able to like grow a carrot that was like, I'm not joking you, like huge carrots. He's like, pull it with one hand, pull it out of the ground and he handed it to me. But there's something unique and special that made me feel that way about him saying my name. And that is the way God speaks to us too. That while I don't know how you're hearing God's voice these days, but there are ways that God speaks to us and communicates to us that should give us that feeling of being noticed, of being known, and being highly valued. That if you're hearing a voice, I would just say this right now, if you're hearing a voice right now that's making you feel pressed down, that's making you feel guilty or ashamed, that is not the voice of God speaking to you. The God that speaks to us knows us and has created us, and we have deep value and worth, and we are very much loved. And this is what John is pointing to in the beginning of this passage, this word that created everything, the thing that created you is God's voice, and we are welcomed in to receive that from him. So this voice was before, God's voice was before, it's present with us now, and it's also the voice into the future. So how do we respond to this voice? We're invited in Christmas to move closer to God. I would say that even in Advent, the thing is for us to be able to prepare our hearts and every season, every year, to be able to see how are we moving closer in relationship with God. And so I have a couple of tips, some ways that we can move closer in relationship with Him. And the first one is this, it's developing your own voice with God. Now, as we grow as followers of Jesus, it isn't just a one and done, you pick one practice and that's it for lifetime. There are things that should grow and change and mature over time. So maybe you're new to following Jesus, you're new to faith, or maybe you've been following God your entire life. You don't know a day without Him. But this is an invitation for everyone, that we should be growing and developing relationship with Him and hearing His voice. So a couple things with this first of all, we could practice reading the Psalms. When the Psalms were written, it wasn't just written for us to be read, but it's actually a good model for us to learn how to pray. So I have a fellow who I'd been listening to for quite a while. His name is Eugene Peterson. He's the one who actually wrote the Message version of the Bible. And I had heard him on a podcast talk about that when he teaches people how to pray, that he would ask them to take the psalm and actually pick a psalm for every day of the week. It was something he was practicing even in his own life. So he'd have a certain psalm he'd read on Sunday, one on Monday, Tuesday, and that was something that would help him get into a rhythm with God in the morning or even at night. And over the years, he had those seven that he had memorized. And it was actually something that was helpful to him because a lot of times when we talk about praying or spending time with God, it's difficult because we're actually praying to somebody who isn't standing face to face with us. Somebody looks at us, we can have a conversation with them, but we're talking about praying to a God kind of open in this space. And as we believe here that God is present with us, what is that going to look like? So the Psalms can actually be a really practical way for us to give word to the things that we're feeling. And the Psalms aren't just some joyous thing. They talk about the joy of God, but they also talk about the very deep and hard things that are going on in our life as well. So that could be a tip for you, is something that you could try grabbing a psalm and helping that as you develop your voice with God. Something that's been working for me this year is doing some contemplation, which the group of ladies that I've been meeting with, we sit down together and we take one passage of scripture and we read it and we take some time that's just quiet that we can sit and listen to God. Because I would say that our lives are very busy. We like to have structure and plan. We want to know what we've achieved in a day. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think sometimes it means we remove ourselves from actually having quiet with God where we can sit and reflect on His presence. We do have a group here that meets at the Hub on Wednesday mornings. If it was something you'd be interested in doing, we meet for about an hour. We sit, we take a passage of scripture, we read through it, and then we have time just to sit with God. And that's another thing, is giving time, space, and quiet where we can hear God speaking back to us. That way we're not just dependent on somebody else, someplace else, to tell us what God's saying. We can believe that God actually speaks to us, directly to us. And then the next thing is practicing a day of rest. Now, Christmas is intensely emotional. It could be intense for you because you love the intensity and you're fueling that and you're going to do everything, right? You're going to go do all the things. Or maybe it's intense for you because you're just trying to like hang on to the coattails of Christmas, right, as it runs off. But my invitation to you is to take some time to rest. We are people who are designed for rest. We need that day of rest just to replenish our own brain the same way as your phone or your computer needs to power down, right? It needs to shut down. We are the same way. We are designed for rest. And for each one of us, that might look a little differently. It might mean that you need to take a long, quiet walk through the woods. It might mean that you need to shut everything down and go into your room and just sit quietly. It might mean just scheduling things a little bit differently. But sometimes this rest is tough because if we haven't trained it, it is a muscle, a discipline that we need to practice. It takes some time. So I would encourage you to carve out some time where you can get some rest, where God can care for you, and God can also care for others that are around you. So developing that voice with God, trying a new practice, and that's a great thing too. Try something out, experiment, find the thing that's gonna work for you. And then finding some time to take rest with God. We're gonna stand together here in just a minute, but just take a second for yourself. Because today and then tomorrow and the next day, we get to celebrate, we get to be with family and friends. We get to celebrate this thing that God is doing in us. And it means that there's all kinds of emotions and things we're feeling. But we do know that God's voice is moving in us, that it's moving through us, that God is present with us in every situation, that he calls out the good and the beautiful things that are in us. And God's voice also speaks directly to evil, to death, to hopelessness. It pushes back the darkness. God's light pushes that back. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand with me? When I was thinking and praying over these last couple of days, there were a couple of things that came up for me that we're going to pray about. So we're going to take some time to pray. Actually, if you're on the ministry team and if you want to come up here, you can too. The first thing that I want to pray over is that just even in our Christmas season, it stirs up all kinds of things for us. So there could be things that you're feeling because there are people in your life that aren't here right now for Christmas. People who have either died that are in your life. And Christmas is stirring up all kinds of grief. So that was the first word I heard, was just that there are some of us that are feeling grief. And sometimes that feels like it collides with Christmas, because Christmas is supposed to be happy and cheerful and celebratory. But I want to take some time just to pray over that for us. If that's what you're feeling today, you're just feeling some grief. And maybe it's not the loss of a loved one. Maybe there's something else that's going on you just can't remedy. You don't have that Christmas feeling. Something just feels hard in this season. And I wanted to pray over that too. And the other one is that I heard pretty clearly that for some of you, the voice of God is really clear and it's running really powerfully through you. You're having lots of dreams. You have a lot of even daydream thoughts, things that God is telling to you. And my encouragement to you is to continue to receive those things, but that even as a community, if there are places where you're being invited by God to share those things, whether it's an encouraging word to somebody else or saying, I was thinking about you and I've been praying for you, that my encouragement to you is it's okay to share that. Sometimes it's awkward if we feel like God's been speaking something to us and we're supposed to share it with another person. Oftentimes we can withhold that because we don't want people to feel awkward. And I would say if it's something encouraging and life-giving, that is a part of us being a community together, that we can share those things with one another. And so I'm going to pray over those things. You're welcome to receive that here. There'll be some people up here that will pray for you if you want that as well. Otherwise, we're going to wrap up with prayer. You can stay in worship. Otherwise, you guys can go have more coffee and enjoy your Sunday. Let's pray together. So, God, we welcome you here with us. Father, and for those of us that are experiencing grief and loss, I ask you to come right now. I ask you to bring your comfort to us and that you would remove any of that pressure where we have to perform or we have to behave differently so that everybody else is okay. I pray that you would come and you would rest on your people. You're a good God to us, and I pray that your voice would speak comfort and care. And for those of us that are hearing your voice so clearly, I ask for more. I do ask that we'd be a community of people that hear God's voice and speak encouragement in the whole world around us. I pray that you'd bless this community, that we'd be able to experience you and your good and beautiful voice as it speaks over us in this holiday season. In your name, amen. You guys are welcome to receive more prayer, or if you need to get going, you can. Just don't forget your kids. And we'll see you tomorrow if you're coming at 11 and 1.